sir. Let's get after it here on a midweek Wednesday morning on Sports Radio TSN 1200. Glad you're along for this 19th day of January 2022. Gang's all here. JR, Simmer, and Hammer, and you're waking up to a little bit of snow out there, actually, this morning. If you're out on the roads right now, or if you're just about to get out to, it's a little bit greasy, don't mind telling you. A little tricky on the drive, so just watch for that. It's going to be kind of a weird day because it's minus 16 right now, and believe it or not, by noon, they're saying it could be raining. And as we know, it probably isn't going to rain unless it gets pretty close to zero. So yeah, the temperature is going to zoom up through the morning. So we'll get about 5 centimeters of snow, a few centimeters down already. And then eventually the snow, light snow, is going to change over to rain showers. Now there's a chance it could be freezing rain too. This is all going to happen over the lunch hour. So if you got to be out and about around lunch, that'd be something you want to watch for. Then it will all taper off. Today's high eventually will get to plus one, believe it or not. Tomorrow, we're back into colder weather, partly sunny, minus 17 will be the high, and then remaining sunny and cold for Friday and into Saturday as well. But as we mentioned right now, minus 16 with a little light snow falling as we say good morning and hello and happy Wednesday to Sean Simpson. How are you this morning,
Simpson? You know what, top shelf boss, man. Yesterday went out, did a little bit of shoveling, had a nice bubble bath with my new bath balms and my new bath pillow, then hunkered down for a nice little ice hockey match and got just one hell of a night's sleep, I got to admit, guys. So actually, I feel top shelf, so I must admit that, sometimes you go into a game, you don't know how you're going to play, and I'm not sure how the next 4 hours are going to go, but I feel like I had a hell of a warm-up, and I'm feeling real good, so I hope that's evidenced in my work.
So no five holes on Simmer.
Well, no, I never, morning. No, I had some great warm-ups back in the DJR, yep. But I never knew going into a game what I was going to do. Now, I could blame that on the people in front of me, but I could also blame it on myself. But like I said, there's just those days where you feel like, man, I got it today. I got it. So
okay.
I feel like I got it. So
High bar. Exactly. What's a bath pillow, by the way?
Oh, it's a pillow that you have in the bath. So it gives you the ability.
Okay. Thanks for breaking it down.
Yeah, exactly. Because I was using a towel for a little while, and I was like, man, I need something here. So ended up going to Bed Bath & Beyond, grab that. So it just allows me, along with my lemon water, music, candles, sometimes working Twitter there, just to relax and just go into zone, do quite a bit of meditating while I'm in the tub.
The phone right above the water in the tub.
Yeah.
With sort of wet, sort of slippery hands.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's got disaster written
No.
A lot of waterproof now.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I do have the little functioning thing that has all my credit cards on the back. So that's... And also, you know what, guys? I'm trying to figure out why I feel so good today. I went to check into the parking lot today, and my buddy down in security, we've chatted quite a bit.
Yep.
He's from India, and he likes cricket. Not a big sports guy.
Mm-hmm. He's a good man. I don't know his name, but he's a good man.
Yeah, he really is. No, so I buzzed in, and what had happened there, it took us a while to reconnect, and then one day I went over to talk to him a little bit. So now he normally doesn't talk to me. He just buzzes me in, right?
He's
like, man, where'd you get that vehicle? It's gorgeous, the color. It's all the rage back in India. I'm like, well, it's
nobody
just,
said that.
It's not all the rage, neither in India or anywhere in the world, that car.
It's a limited edition, customized paint job. But he said to me, he's trying to say something. I'm like, what's going on here? He's like, he comes running outside. He's like, what I did is I put two cones down and I put a spot for you that I'm going to reserve every day. And I thought to myself, I've got to spread word here.
That's why those cones are there.
Because the people that I work with and probably the people above that are going to be just beside themselves.
Well, I did notice.
That I get this spot.
Okay, yeah, we have to tell everybody what's been going on. So for most of all of the time we've worked here in the building, the parking lot in the back has been off limits for a bunch of different reasons. They got a bunch of news vehicles and stuff that are back there. But since a lot of the people have gone to work from home, they decided, it was quite a while ago, a year and a half ago, Hammer, probably?
Well, basically
staff members
April, it'll be 2 years in April or May, guys?
All right, so staff members could start to park there, which is nice because, you know what, parking downtown can be expensive.
Yeah.
And people are parking all over the market. Avoiding tickets, doing this, that, and whatever. So
although Warnsey's parking updates back in the day were legendary.
Right? It's a very nice perk to have.
Very much.
But, and all of last winter, now we were all of the people were off last winter. Like hardly anybody was in the building except for us.
Anyway, a few people have drifted back. So it's gotten busier in the parking lot to the point of when you get in either for to work in the morning, or the worst part is actually after all the morning show people start to leave, yourself included, and Hammer and everybody else that works at the radio stations, and all the TV people are drifting in. So at about 10:30 in the morning, it's a gong show. And now add to that, they had to push all the snow from the snowstorm on Monday into a big pile near the hotel that's at the side of the parking lot. And so the number of spots has been reduced dramatically. So yesterday was just, it was a gong show.
They told me peak day, it was 41 cars.
41 cars, and it's probably what? It's probably made for about, with the snow, probably you could have parked, what, maybe 25, maybe? Yeah, yeah. So people are parked in a million different directions. Everybody's blocking everybody. Yeah. I watch Simmer walk out. I go, you walk out, and then I see you walk back in, because you had to get about seven people to move their cars so you could actually get out of the parking lot. You'd actually got out fairly quickly.
Well,
I watched all of this unfold.
Yeah, it is fun, and I do feel pressure each day. It was only one vehicle that had to be moved, and that fella, and he's actually driving a company vehicle, JR. They should send him for another driving test. Hey, if you think
he had to back up quite a few
times. Was that not a bit disconcerting?
So I want to move quickly now ahead to our friend from India, the security guard. Yeah.
Good man.
A good man who has decided, now he's not even here at 10 o'clock to see the craziness that ensues, to know that for some reason Mr. Simpson should have his own reserve parking spot. How did that all come about?
I honestly know. Now, what is a bit weird, though, have you not noticed that he's here past 10 a.m. now lately?
I have not noticed
that.
Okay,
well, he is. So he was yesterday.
Where's Eddie?
Well, that's
maybe Eddie's on holidays. Maybe that's what's happening.
Maybe Eddie won so much money over the weekend.
That's true.
Lost.
Another one of those 17 parlays.
A little disappearing act one way or another.
Anybody seen Eddie? He owes me money.
Well, but then he came running out. Now, he's living here in Ottawa on his own. He's going to school. Good fella. And he came running out. He's just got running shoes, nothing else.
Yeah.
He actually wanted to move the cones for me. I was like, man, I can't wait to get in the
this
building.
This is going to happen every day.
Well, that's what he said. I said, well, I'm sure that'll be taken away at some point, because I'm the type that'll tell people, and people above me won't be excited about that.
Well, I'll be sure to spread. I'll just spread the word that that's what's happening, and I'll let the chaos ensue
Would it be too much to put a sign up with my name?
Space reserved
employee of the month parking.
Mr. Simpson
has won again. Wow, seven consecutive months.
Just like working at McDowell's.
Well, good on you. I see you did not take the opportunity. So the one side of the parking lot, and Hammer, you're here early enough that you always get a spot there.
Yeah.
That's the good side, because no one can park in front of you because it'll block everything, and so you can zoom away.
Yeah.
And it was Simmer.
Yeah.
You got that side, but then you made the somewhat fatal error of, again, driving straight in. So now you're going to have to reverse.
Oh, no, no.
You're going to have cars parked behind you.
What do you mean?
You can't reverse because you can't turn your head in a certain direction. And so it's going to be a 15-minute process
to get out of the parking lot. There'll be nobody parking behind me there. They don't go that far. And what I did, guys, is I come in, I do a turn, so I don't straighten my vehicle properly. That way, when I come back out, I go the exact same way.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't go straight in. No, I'm...
That sounds like you're trusting a lot of the beeps and the bloops and the
my sensors are going bonkers, too.
Like, oh,
they're going off.
I got snow over them, so they constantly go off now.
And I did think for a second, and here's what I also did, Jared. When I came in, I went and around, and I went to the back of the parking lot, and I came back around and then parked. As kind of a veteran move, because I didn't feel like, and I would not, I wonder how experienced his driving skills are, if he could back it in for me. Because I look at
you just drive it up to the front, hand him the keys.
Yeah. I don't know how new to Canada he is. So, I don't know. Beautiful vehicle that you're driving, that he probably would just love to get his hands on. So Simmer's now got a security guard / valet.
But I would have laughed if I had tried to back into there. Like, not a chance. I would have been able to do that. And my sensors are going off in my back window, and I'm not much to that. But anyways, that was a nice little start to the day, and that might be...
Perks are us.
How did you wheel and deal? Because I drove in, and I saw these pylons, and I'm kind of curious. I'm thinking, maybe they're leaving a little space because... Maybe the snowplow's coming back.
Maybe
in
the head of
skim it.
Maybe the head of CTV's coming in to visit.
Not one. Yes. Unfortunately, the thought of somebody reserving a spot for Sean Simpson never even came into my mind.
Well, you thought Stu must be back in the building.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, that would have made more sense. Absolutely. Well, listen, congratulations.
Wow.
I hope it lasts.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, really. Not anymore.
Yeah. No, it won't.
All right, 6:20. We got lots to get to. Of course, coming off a Sens game night, a loss to the Buffalo Sabres in controversial fashion. A game that Ottawa dominated for the most part, but could not pull out the victory, thanks in no small measure to a Sabres goal, which a lot of Senator fans are upset that it counted and happened in the first place. Anyway, we'll go through all of that, get all the post-game reaction from the likes of DJ Smith, Ottawa Senators head coach. So all of that, all of the other NHL story from around the league, some off-ice news as well. So we got lots to get to. Dave Poulin, who did the game on TV last night, is in town. He'll be our TSN Hockey Insider joining us after 8 o'clock this morning. And once again today, we'll have $100 to give away as part of our big game contest with Gabriel Pizza. So details on that coming up as well as we continue along here on this Wednesday morning. We're glad you're with us on Sports Radio, TSN 1200. Hold the Bayswater camera, which is the one kind of Rochester Bronson, but I can't figure out because it's dark what direction that is. I think it's eastbound because it looks like there's people exiting at Rochester. But anyway, I'll get you an update on that. But it is tricky driving this morning. It hasn't been a lot of snow, a little bit of light snow, but just enough that the plows haven't been out, but it's greasy. Again, you can't really find any lanes.
A lot of blowing snow as well.
Yeah, a little bit of that. So again, just count on some extra travel time. Be one of those mornings again where if you can, you can put off travel to a little bit later. That might be advised. But we'll keep you up to date on the traffic throughout the morning. School buses, by the way, are running today. But it's probably a trickier day for the buses today than it was yesterday. Yesterday, though, of course, the issue was roads not being plowed in a lot of cases. Happy to report, by the way, when I arrived home yesterday, 1:30, 2 o'clock, not only was my road plowed, but I think somebody sort of cleared the end of my driveway. But
whoa.
I'm not sure because nice. The residue of the grader going by, like the stuff was thrown onto my driveway. But it wasn't as big a hump as I had expected. And I asked my kids, thinking, I know what the answer is here. Yeah. Did you guys do it?
Of course we did.
And no, they weren't smart enough to pick up on my question. Yeah. So they said no. And my wife was already gone because her car, of course, didn't start. So she had to take an Uber to work. So if there's a neighbor out there who did it for me, thanks. Shout out.
Yeah.
That was awesome. And if not, then thanks to the grader guy for going slow enough that I didn't get the big wall of snow. The windrow, apparently, is the technical name, by the way. Yes, it's not the hump. It's the windrow that they leave behind. All right. So there we go. And I got the car started, did some maneuvering.
So you survived too? You did not electrocute yourself?
No, no. I was going over with Hammer after the show yesterday about, I'm not a big jumper cable guy. I mean, I'll be honest with you. You know, I'm a lover, not a fighter. I'm a bit soft. I'm not really, you know, I know I've jumped cars before.
You can change a toilet.
I can change a toilet. I can do some electrical work. I can use jumper cables, but I'm just scared to death, you know, of the things banging against each other while you're doing one of them and electrocuting yourself.
Fireworks.
And so I've got one kind of wrapped around my neck. I'm holding another one out there. I'm trying to keep them all separate,
how's
right?
How's that safe?
Because there are four of them, right? And I'm going, and I'm, you know, red is right. My dad taught me red is right. So I'm looking for the pot and I'm scraping away the dirt and the dust to find the positive terminal.
Oh, that's solid too.
Yes, exactly. But anyway, and my daughter's in the car waiting for me to give her the signal to try it. And man, it's just that good feeling of, and it's like, I did it.
Yeah, it is good.
And then unhooking everything to make sure you don't electrocute yourself the second time.
And the newer batteries are pretty covered up too, right? I mean, the old battery's pretty straightforward, but yeah, I've had enough of those in the day. And from all my travels, you always had a good set in the trunk because you never knew when either you needed to help somebody else or you needed yours. And nowadays, probably harder to find jumper cables, right? I don't think people are cruising around with them like they used to.
Okay, 6:29. Let's take it to Canadian Tire Center, an empty Canadian Tire Center. Last night, Hammer, let's start with you because you did the game last night. How jarring was it for things to be back to the way they were last year?
It brought back really bad memories. I don't like it. The Sens do a really good job of trying to fill in some of the crowd noise. And there's one gentleman that actually has like a little hotkey screen where he can go along with the play and add a little boo, right. Add a little whoa. all that's missing is
that's
on the
over,
power play.
That's over the loudspeakers?
Yes. Shoot. That's what we need. We need that too. But, man, I don't miss it. I do not miss not having fans.
Well, hopefully we'll see. You know, with Doug Ford was on CFRA yesterday, kind of hinting at maybe some of the restrictions being lifted, not really specifying, but could it be as soon as maybe the home game next Tuesday against Buffalo again, that maybe some fans may be allowed, or could it be maybe the week after that? The Sens are back home. But anyway, regardless, it was an empty building last night, so that was a bit odd. If you were watching and or listening to the game. The game itself, a game dominated by the Sens on the shot clock. They outshot, outchanced the Buffalo Sabres, but here we are. It's 1-1 midway through the third period when the craziness ensues.
And now we're going to punch up at center. That hit was not appreciated by the Sabres.
Brännström was the one. The play goes on here. My goodness. Score. Oh, boy, the play continued on here,
Jankowski takes a loose puck after everybody else stopped playing because of a hit at center ice, and the Sabres have taken a 2-1 lead when no one was playing.
It was really weird. It was really weird, and that's obviously Dean and Gordon. And Dean, for those that don't know, tested positive earlier in the week, so he actually did the broadcast from home. So he doesn't really have an eye because he's watching it through the TSN feed, right? And he's got a special feed and everything. But even the television feed started showing the scrum. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden they pull away from the scrum and you're like, okay, there's a Buffalo guy and he's going in on a breakaway. How did that all happen? I think we were all left. How did that all happen? And for a lot of fans thinking, why wasn't a whistle blown as that scrum was going on for the better part of 5 or 6 seconds, but no whistle. And Mark Jankowski strips Josh Brown. Of all the guys to not be involved on the ice, in a scrum on the ice, Josh Brown is the only guy. He's the guy with the puck on his stick. He's the guy that ends up getting stripped at center ice. Jankowski turns it over, goes in on a breakaway, and scores what turns out to be the game-winning goal in a eventual 3-1 win by Buffalo. So, Simmer, I'll ask you, I guess, the million-dollar question this morning. Do you think the officials, in this case, should have blown down the play?
Oh, absolutely, JR, but they didn't, so that's sad. And as far as Josh Brown, he only pulls players off the goalie, not off of the scrum, and it was unfortunate of all the guys to be out there, the limited skill. But no, in that sequence, now some people said, oh, Brännström got hit. You know, hey, there was no penalty on the play. First of all, Brännström's hit was great. He got nudged from behind. But at that point there, as you all come together, you blow it dead. But as I said, you didn't at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it should have been a whistle.
Yeah, I was not of the same opinion, which puts me clearly in the minority. And listen, if there's not a goal scored in this entire thing, we're not even talking. Right for a second. I do know, and I think we've all watched enough hockey to know that the mandate for the officials is to keep the play going as best they can, right? Yeah. How many times do we see a scrum in the corner where there can be as many players as they were? There can be, you know, up to 8 players, but 5 and 6 players and the pucks and the skates, and it goes on and on, sometimes for 30 seconds, and you hear the refs going, move it. And nothing is happening. And it's because the mandate is, again, keep the play moving. Yesterday, I timed it. Yeah. From the time that Brännström hit Okposo, and it was a great hit, by the way, to the point where one of the Sabres guys kind of piles on him, then a linesman comes in, there's been some pushing and shoving, to when they start to separate is 5 seconds. It was not that long, and I think it eventually looked a lot worse than it actually was. I didn't have an issue with them not blowing the whistle, knowing, again, that the mandate is to keep the play going. Yeah. And you could see after Brännström, after the hit goes down and then the Sabre guy kind of piles on top of him, that once that guy gets back up off of Brännström and the linesman is kind of in there as well, everybody starts to separate right away. So in other words, for me, as I watch it, and I watched it 3 or 4 times, there did not look to me like one of those things that was going to escalate like it looked like it could have. And so I understand why, in this case, the officials did not blow the play down and let it continue. Unfortunately, for Ottawa, you know, the old adage of play to the whistle and all that other stuff, that was not followed.
No, and in that case, Jaron, and I wouldn't even disagree with what you're saying, the only thing I think is that when that happens, where first of all, somebody's at the bottom of a pile and you're in between the benches, you get a lot of chaos at that point. My only fear there is that's really where somebody could get tangled up in an open door or, you know, in a pile that, you know, if it's a pile in the corner or a pile in front of the net, usually they do blow it dead. But hey, like I said, at the end of the day, it's up to the Senators players and the awareness. And for Josh Brown, hey, you have to make sure you protect the puck right there. And unfortunately, of all the players to be out, the probably least skilled player on your team and a player that is already a lightning bolt for the old fan base, it just isn't one very good. But I wouldn't sit here and be like, oh my God, they took that away from the Ottawa Senators. I think it could have gone either way, but it doesn't matter. They didn't blow the whistle. And like I say, at that point, the fault is you got to play till the end.
Here is the aforementioned Josh Brown, who was in the middle of the turnover.
I kind of looked up ice, saw that there was a scrum going on, kind of assumed that the whistle was blown and I didn't hear it or was going to be blown. So I had the puck. I should have got the red and just got it in. Obviously, the whistle wasn't blown. You know, we learned that as kids to play until you hear the whistle. So my fault for sure. I just got to get rid of that puck, just ice it, dump it in something, just not that.
All right, so full marks for taking ownership, and, you know, you're asked if you want to appear post-game, and many players in the past, especially when you're in that, you know, the spotlight is on you, decline to be interviewed in that situation. So I'll give them full marks for stepping up and answering the questions, and there were three or four questions of the same ilk, right? Kind of put in different ways of what were you thinking and what did you see and what happened, et cetera, et cetera. So I'll give them full marks for that. But yeah, this one is, you know, of all the guys, and you said it, Simmer, of all the guys who should have the puck on a stick in that situation is Josh Brown. And as he said, the easy play is get the red, get the center ice line, dump it in, dump it somewhere, dump it anywhere. Just don't be fiddling around with the puck. And obviously, he quite obviously is looking at the whole schmozzle over the bench, to borrow Gary Galley's term, and thinking probably every other player on the ice, yeah. I may go in here in a breakaway. I just got to dangle two other guys, and I'm in.
Well,
it did not happen.
But I also wonder in the back of his mind, JR, I mean, he's full aware that, hey, the coach leans on him to be a physical presence. I also wonder in the back of his mind, at what point here is the play going to be blown dead, and I better jump in there and help out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, so I, as I said, and the other thing with Josh Brown, he sounds like, and he was a leader in Oshawa and a good guy. He's got a couple of year contract here on a one way. Good for him. You know, it is unfortunate. I'll even say for myself, it becomes where, you know, I don't want to say people think it's personal, but for him right now, I mean, it's a debate as to whether he should be in the lineup. And then unfortunately you have a moment like that last night and everyone just kind of piles on, but good for him from getting out in front of it. And like I say, that's, lots of kind of debate there between that and the not lack of a call of a timeout on that power play or pulling the goaltender. And unfortunately that kind of overshadowed what was a really, really good game for the Ottawa Senators. I thought kind of a checklist all the way down there that they just thoroughly outplayed a Buffalo Sabres last night.
Yeah, Sabres on the back end of a back-to-back, and it showed. And they're, you know, starting a guy in Michael Hauser who had five career starts, first one of the season. They prep him with 44 shots. And, you know, I won't say, you know, he had to, I'm not saying he stood on his head. They had a lot of really, really grade A opportunities. But, you know, I didn't look at last night and go, that was one of the greatest goaltending displays I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, totally.
There were a lot of shots, and there were more than a handful of quality opportunities. But I didn't think, oh, my God, this is a travesty, the fact that they're losing. Like, they should have won the game. Outplayed, outchanced, out everything, just didn't outscore them.
Yeah, and even a couple of the breakaways there, the one by Formanton, you know, they weren't clean plays. And Ottawa as well, JR, even on the power play, and the one power play I don't think even had a shot, they get their looks, and it's certainly very, very promising. But overall, as a team, this isn't like a, you know, well-oiled machine like the old Oilers, Pittsburgh, or when you watch Colorado right now, right? When they get their shots, they get their looks, they get their opportunities. But I agree with you. There's not like those clean plays where all of a sudden you're like, man, he just stole that. He played big, he battled, he hung in there, and as I said, allowed his team to end up stealing 2 points.
The problem for Ottawa, in my opinion, they did get the one goal they got was on a power play Batherson, and you could tell that the sort of the jam play was they had either done a pre-scout or discovered, hey, the defenseman from Buffalo kind of move up a little bit. That's the play. That's our best opportunity. So they did generate quite a few opportunities in that direction. The problem was, as it has been, we've seen when the power play struggled earlier in the year, is just getting into the zone and getting set up. How many, including on that last power play in the last couple of minutes where they just never really had the puck under control, you know, had it controlled and settled down and then start moving around and creating some sort of opportunity. So from that perspective, the power play, and I don't have the final shots of the power play generated on the six opportunities on the night, but overall, I think just the lack of of getting settled down on quite a few of them ends up costing the power play in particular.
Yeah, I thought it could have been a little crisper. I didn't think the entries against Buffalo were all that difficult, JR. It was more where you were entering, and at that time it put a lot of guys out of position. Then they kind of had to reset and just felt like one of those nights where, yeah, for whatever reason there, you certainly still had some opportunities. It wasn't even, and listen to Pooley on the broadcast, certainly wasn't on the power play, but that one time that Stutzle walks down the middle and he's passing it off to Forman to you're like, man, come on.
Yep.
You're in the high slot there. You just start,
shoot that puck,
you start firing that biscuit.
Yeah, you mentioned the power play at the end, and I think that's the other talking point from the game other than the scrum goal that that won it for Buffalo. And this is this one I think you can question the coach, and I don't think it's hindsight is 20/20. I think a lot of us were thinking at the time two different opportunities. Because the Buffalo penalty with Ottawa down 2-1 came with about 3 minutes to go, I think 3:07 or something like that. There is an opportunity. It's an offensive zone faceoff, obviously. At that point, it's a lot of time, but you could pull your goalie at that point and make it a full 6-on-4 with your big boys out on the ice because they had the first power play unit out there. And then there is a whistle about a minute into the power play again. So right around the 2 minute.
I think it was 51 seconds left, Jared.
Oh, was it that little? No, it was more than that.
No.
This was still with the power play.
No. I know that. I thought there was 51 seconds left in the power play.
Okay. So about 2 minutes left in the game or thereabouts. Yeah. And that's where I thought. I didn't think to pull the goalie at 3 minutes left with the power play was the right move. Mm-hmm. But I did think when they got it with 2 minutes to go, when they got the so there's again the big unit has been out there for a little over a minute.
Yeah.
You got an offensive zone faceoff. Yeah. Like, why didn't you call your time out there?
Yeah.
That's the time to call your timeout, is it not?
Again,
pull your goalie and your timeout and put your big boys back out there again.
But JR, here's the thing, and we just went the whole weekend talking about Mike McCarthy in Dallas and going through it. That isn't even a question, JR. It is a procedure that you should, as a coach, like you've got three guys in the back of that bench that have all been head coaches in the National Hockey League. I don't know how it wasn't even was a discussion. Like, how did somebody not alert the coach if the coach isn't talking about it? Of hey, when we get to this point here, let's get a timeout in. These are things that should all be pre-planned in a one-goal hockey game. It's not even. I honestly, for anybody to try to push against it or say anything against it, this should be so automatic in your whole thing. Just like when we talk about the Dallas Cowboys, I'm running a play at the end of the game. Well, we were supposed to have this down pat. I don't think there's any debate whatsoever. Now, the pulling the goaltender, you can always, you know, everyone philosophically. I personally, if I have a real good power play, I'd do it at 3 minutes. But I understand your logic. But you get that break with 50 seconds left in a power play, a timeout, and pull your goaltender.
And the big boys back out.
And for where Ottawa's at in the standings, here, like what would you even be risking at that point? Like what Buffalo scores into an empty net? Like, think about that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not here to play conservative hockey when I'm winning one out of every three hockey games, very lucky to win in Edmonton. Now you lose to the Buffalo Sabres. No, that should have been, like I said, the timeout at the very least. But why in God's name would you not be taking some chances and getting a 6-on-4 against a team that played the night before?
So we have a clip from DJ Smith on the post-game show. So as before I set it up, Hammer, so is the question, because we don't include the question with the clip we're about to play, is the question about pulling the goalie with the power play at the start of the power play or when I'm advocating for it, which is midway through?
Midway through is the question that Ian asked.
Okay, all right. So here is DJ Smith's answer on that. Why not use a timeout and pull the goalie 6-on-4 with about 2 minutes to go?
I mean, you still got a minute left. You want to use your timeout. You know, you're hopeful. First of all, our power play has been really good. So you're hopeful they can get that job done. Our issue is we didn't get set up tonight. We won that draw and we turned it over. The extra guy is going to be the guy in front of the net. We have to still be able to get set up. And my thought was give that unit their minute to try and score. And then, you know, if we had them hemmed in, we, you know, I would have pulled the goalie, but we never got set up.
Okay. So that is DJ Smith's explanation, although I'm not sure yet that I really understand it. If they have the extra skater, so they win the draw, but they lose possession, but the extra guy would have been in front of the net. No, he wouldn't have. In fact, the extra guy, if it's off the draw, might have been a guy who could have had the opportunity to actually win that loose puck that off the faceoff, and you keep possession in the offensive zone.
Oh, Jerry, it makes such a difference. I mean, my God, 6-on-4 when you played the night before. We're talking the Buffalo Sabres here. I mean, some of those defensemen are American League caliber. My gosh, what you're able to do. But like I said, just take a step back, Jerry. If we just won 2 games in a row, you are one of the worst teams in the National Hockey League. Like, what would even be the rationale for not taking the chance? And I'd even have some fun at 3 minutes and say, hey, boys, here's a challenge for you. You know, let's get out. Let's get a 6-on-4, and let's see what it's all about, a bit of a teaching moment. I mean, that was just one of those mistakes. And hey, Dave Poulin is the classiest man on the planet. Even Pooley said, you know, and he's always very careful, but he just was like, you know, like that's coaching 101 there. Now, and the bigger issue, and
you don't want to end, what do you say? You don't want to end the game with the timeout in your back pocket.
Yeah, well, for sure. And again, you know, and this isn't just, hey, we're sitting here debating today. You know, to me, this is a series of decisions, and whether, you know, hey, Josh Brown, whatever happened there, that's a very, you know, legitimate debate. I don't think he's an NHL player. To end up having the goal that was scored to lose the hockey game with him on the ice, turning the puck over, and then not to do that, there's enough things here, as we're almost 2.5 years in, that you quite simply start to question a lot of things that DJ Smith is doing. And procedurally, like I said, that's a fault on the entire coaching staff, JR. There's no way those three guys walk into their office last night of all being head coaches in the National Hockey League and don't say, and it happens in any line of work, hey, we effed up. There's no way. I mean, hey, what you say to the press is fine, but you would, if the manager comes down, you're not sitting there and you're not using that little thing on him. You're saying, you know what, we messed up, and I don't know how three guys with that experience would miss something like that.
Well, and we're at the time and age now where pulling the goalie, you know, which used to be, we don't do it until there's a minute to go and we got full possession in the offensive zone when we're down by a goal, to the point where, and I think it was, I give Patrick Waugh the credit for it, right? He was the guy that started pulling the goalie with about 3 or 4 minutes to go. Yeah. And it was jarring.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I'm not sure. I think, well, he obviously had a little bit of success with it because it's a copycat league. And then everybody else or most other coaches started to pull the goalie quite a bit earlier than they used to before. And now it's like, that's like coaching 101 now, is you got to get your goalie out a lot sooner. Mm-hmm. So the fact that Ottawa with 2 minutes to go, which is now kind of late in the, you know, in terms of pulling your goalie if you're down by a goal, and they're on the power play, mm-hmm. and they have an offensive zone faceoff, mm-hmm. and they don't do it, and they don't use a timeout, and at that point, they don't put their first unit back out there again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, none of that makes sense. And the TV shot of the bench, it's DJ's talking to Davis Payne, and then Capuano's in there, and he's holding some kind of board, and they're all gesticulating with their arms, and they're doing stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, call the timeout and put your first unit back on the power play and put your goalie on the bench.
Yeah,
this is easy. This is coaching 101. So that was that was to me, as I kind of sat there after the game. I know the scrum thing is what a lot of people wanted to talk about, and the goal. To me, that was the bigger issue on the night, or the bigger story for me.
Yeah.
At least.
No. I agree, Jerry. And as I said, all these little things are magnified. And again, the history of lineup decisions that are incredibly peculiar. 2 years in a row where by lots of injury luck, and I'll call it dumb luck, that you've stumbled into Stutzla moving in the middle, Forbes moving up, Brännström back into the lineup. Yeah, I mean, you do start to. And in a game like that last night, yeah, that should have been as simple as it comes. And more importantly, man, hey, we've just won 2 games in a row. Who cares if the Buffalo Sabres, even with 3 minutes left here, and you're so lucky at the point to get a 50, I think it was 51 seconds, you're lucky to have gotten a faceoff at that point. I can't count on that. Why would I not just say, hey, even at three
in terms of using your power play, or your timeout there?
Well, no, but I'm just saying, I don't even know if I'm going to get a faceoff necessarily.
Why not
at the 3 minute mark? And I don't know where they are as far as the big boys in the power play. Why even then wouldn't you say, listen, let's call a timeout here. We're going to do 6 guys. We're going to pull the goaltender.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get out and get after them. This is the middle of January. Nobody in the building. We're one of the worst teams in the National Hockey League. let's get after her, boys.
Yeah. Yeah, no one would have batted an eye had they pulled the goalie in at that time at the start of the power play. But even more so for me, and this is just for me, especially that one in the middle of the power play. That's just inexcusable, quite honestly.
Big time.
All right, your thoughts on that are welcome. Text us at 12-1200. Tweet at us at TSN1200. Two big talking points. The scrum, should it have been whistled down? And then what went on at the end of the game with Ottawa and some of the coaching decisions that were made or not made. And we'll go through all of that with you. And, of course, talk to Dave Poulin because he watched it firsthand doing the analysis on TV last night alongside Johnny Abbott. Okay, 6:50. We'll take a break. Come back. We got lots more to get to. A bunch of other NHL stories, both on the ice and off from last night as we continue along on this Wednesday morning. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. J.R. Simmer and Hammer with you. Sens fall 3-1 to the Buffalo Sabres last night at an empty Canadian Tire Center. Back at practice today. And then they hit the road for a three-game road trip. A couple of tough ones to start. Pittsburgh's playing great hockey. They're in Pitt tomorrow. Washington is also rocking and rolling this year. They're in Washington on Saturday, and then they'll close it out on Sunday with a 6 o'clock face-off against the Columbus Blue Jackets. And then Buffalo is back here for the next home game, with or without fans, coming up next Tuesday. We are scheduled to find out today about the schedule. It sounds like the NHL is going to release, and I'm not sure if it's going to be all the games. I'm assuming it's going to be. But all of the postponed games, we're going to hear about the rejigged schedule supposedly at some point today. There was some talk. Now, the Sens have, I believe they have the most games to reschedule. It'd be probably be they or the Islanders, right, that have played the fewest games. They have a dozen games to reschedule. And I was told at one point that maybe a couple of those games may be tacked on to the end of the season, end of the regular season, at the end of April. Now it seems like they're going to try to get all of those games in during the Olympic break. And there's a couple of the other opportunities to maybe get in a game where they've got a little bit of a hole, a tiny hole in their schedule in late March and early April. So anyway, we should find out the schedule later on today as far as all those postponed games go.
Yeah, and I was told by sources as well, JR, there is a chance that they would play at noon against the Islanders and then the Devils at 7.
It's like a good hockey tournament, hey?
Come on, boys. Let's get at her here, hey?
Couple of three non-playoff teams. Let's just get these games over with.
And that, hey, and again, everyone's schedule being different. Leafs play and continue along. And if you're paying the bills in Montreal and Ottawa, at this point, it's all about reps. It's all about opportunity. And I don't care how many condensed games there are. You got young legs, young guys. And as of the end of the season, you're going to have 5 months until opening night. Lots of time to recover and lots of time to get ready for next year.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking at right now. So Ottawa has played now 32 games. Which is that the fewest in the league now? I'm just trying to find where the Islanders are. Anyway, and we've got teams that have played 40, looks like 41.
Islanders are at 32 as well.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Now we got at least three teams, including Tampa, which played last night. Tampa, I got Nashville at 41. Tampa, I got Anaheim at 41. I got a whole pile at 40. So the Sens and the Islanders have played nine fewer games than some teams. And when you think about it, just in terms of a typical week, you would play three games. Some weeks it's four and then three. So they usually play, let's say, seven games over 2 weeks. So Ottawa is about, if you think about it in terms of this, they're about 3 weeks behind some of these other teams in terms of games played.
Yeah.
So now the other question that's been raised is the trade deadline is March the 21st, I believe. Some people have been asking, hey, are they going to adjust the trade deadline given the fact that they've got to shoehorn in all of these games? My personal belief would be, and I got no inside information on this, is that if most of the games are going to be put in the Olympic break in February, that, you know, all of the teams, including Ottawa, will be pretty close to the number of games they would have played by March 21st, regardless of that I don't think they're going to adjust it. They always try to have the trade deadline when teams have played about 80% of their schedule. So my personal viewpoint is I don't think they're going to change it, but maybe you've got some more insight or a better guess.
No, Jared. The trade deadline itself, I don't even know why it's a debate in a sense of it really just relates to when the end of the season is at. And they've shifted around, discussed it at times. When's the right time? You know, when do you want to, or you don't want to compromise the integrity of the thing? I don't think that there's any rationale or any reason, unless all of a sudden you decide the season's going to go 2 weeks longer. No, I think it'll be kept as is. And as I say, move along, adjust, and this is a COVID world.
Yeah. Okay, so again, that to be announced today. All right, let's take a break, 6:59. Next hour, you saw the whole Leon Draisaitl thing with Jim Matheson, the Edmonton reporter yesterday, Simmer?
I didn't. What happened?
You did not?
I'm teasing, Jerry. Yeah, yeah, no, it was all the chatter.
Yeah, it was. All right. I think it's pretty interesting, and I think it's a good, you know, peek behind the curtain a little bit in the relationship between members of the media and athletes at this point, to NHL players. So I think there's a good discussion there to have. So we'll get into that. And I know that Brendan Perlini of the Edmonton Oilers was also asked kind of, I think, a similar question to Draisaitl, probably not in as argumentative a way. And to juxtapose his answer against kind of the answer and attitude of Leon Draisaitl was pretty interesting as well. So I want to go through all of that because I think it is, that's just not an inside baseball kind of thing. I think people are a little bit intrigued by that. So we'll go through all of that. Continue to look back on last night's Sens 3-1 loss to the Sabres. Lots of talking points from that. The scrum goal that should or should not have counted. The lack of timeout for Ottawa late in the game when they were trying to tie it. So we got lots to get through. And Erik Brännström again, having a big night last night to the point where he played more than 20 minutes for the first time in his NHL career, including 8 minutes alongside Thomas Chabot. So we'll get into that discussion as well. Dave Poulin joins us later. $100 up for grabs from Gabriel Pizza in our big game contest. So we got lots of reasons for you to stick around. Hope you do. News and sports update is on the way next right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200.